Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. Her work involves not only a specialized focus on TMS, but also helping clients transform important aspects of their life that feel stuck or overwhelming, such as their career, relationships, weight issues, confidence, purpose, life stressors, you name it. You'll find her to be compassionate, action-oriented, and results-driven, all the things that you need in a coach to create a meaningful change. This holistic approach will help you make the changes that are important to you, and you'll walk away feeling empowered to continue to create the life that you want. One of the many things that make Jeannie a terrific coach is that she's been in the trenches with her own health challenges. She has been through it. That's why she gets it. After healing herself completely, Jeannie is now focused on delivering fast results to her clients through a one-on-one coaching program. It includes weekly support, consistency, and accountability. The best part about working with Jeannie is that she takes the stress out of the process. You're going to get a customized health plan, simple plan with tools and strategies that align with your individual lifestyle, busy schedule, and other needs. I encourage you to book a free 45-minute call to learn more about this one-on-one coaching program so you can fast-track your results. If you work with Jeannie, you'll embark on a transformative path where obstacles are overcome and breakthroughs become your norm. Go to jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieKulwin.com, to book your free call today. It is Thursday, January the 20th, as you hear this. Before I get started, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the show. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast, like Teresa and Lauren, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Albert, Vicky. Wait, let's go back a second. Bear with me for just a second. Teresa, Lauren, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Daniel, Emily, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Mike, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast every single week, month, and year. I appreciate you being here. as you listen to this, I may already be on the road to Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming in the United States. And I put out a week or so ago on the podcast Facebook group, the Mind and Fitness Podcast, The Leaders of Pain. I'd said, hey, I'm planning on doing an Ask Me Anything Q&A type show for July 20th, and I'm likely going to record on the 18th, and it's the 19th as I record this. Does anyone have any questions you like asked or answered? And so I'm just going to kind of go through. Looks like a few people chimed in. So Sarah, I think that most sports injuries become an acute traumatic break or impact are TMS. Even things like torn labrums that show up on imaging after a period of pain are mostly normal abnormalities. Agree or disagree? And then there's a part two. I'm going to say that I agree. I've talked a lot about a shoulder surgery that I had back in 2016, and the main part of that was a torn labrum. The injury occurred in October, and by mid-January, maybe late January, I was feeling near 100%. And by the time that surgery actually rolled around, I was probably 99%. But I went through with the surgery because I thought that that's just what you're supposed to do. You're diagnosed with this thing. It showed up on an MRI. You've got to make sure that you go through and you actually make the necessary adjustments. Make the necessary adjustments to have the surgery if you want to go and continue to do the things that you've always done in your life that you love to do. So I had it done. But thinking back the series of events, I had the injury in October, went through, was in a lot of pain all throughout November and December. And then I had my MRI in early January. Hurt like hell. I have a video actually of me talking about it hurting so bad as I was going in to do this MRI. Had the MRI on a Thursday, met with the doctor on a Friday. She had read it, said, here's what you have, which is actually a way worse injury than just a labrum. It ended up not being that, but that's what she had diagnosed me with, told me the reasons why. And I had kind of initially had thought, okay, like this is the end of my athletic career, and figured that that was kind of it. And so She told me, seeing how down in the dumps I was, she was like, this is not at all the end of your athletic career, and that you can actually go back to doing full activity, up to pain, have pain be your guide, but you're going to be fine. You're going to be great, and you're going to be as good as new and all that kind of stuff. You're going to continue competing. And just the dread overall dramatically diminished, maybe even went completely away, and totally changed my experience. Not just in life, but also changed my experience with the pain. And quickly, that pain diminished. And so it started going away. And I was doing everything. I have a video of me hitting a beautiful snatch and a beautiful clean and jerk just a couple of days before surgery. And I'm doing tons of lifting, leading all the way up into surgery. So it's interesting. It's entirely possible that that labrum injury was there before I dislocated my shoulder. And it's entirely possible that it would have been just fine after the fact. So who knows? But at this point in time, it's tough to look back. But if I could go back in time, I would not have had the surgery. Sarah goes on to say, any specific techniques that you can recommend to overcome the ingrained thinking that pain associated with sports is always due to a structural problem? As a runner, my motto is the most injuries can be run through. If I go slow and easy enough, that usually works for me when I get wound up thinking I've injured myself. So I do pretty hard training. 5 times per week. Most of it is like high intensity interval training, but there are a couple of workouts during the week that are a little bit more brutal. They might run 30 to 60 minutes at an elevated heart rate, and I'm doing movements that some people may think that it would injure themselves. And I've talked a lot about how in my 20s, I usually about every 3 months, I would have these bouts of tendonitis, usually in my knee, but sometimes or in my knees. Could be in my shoulders, though, and my elbows and my biceps and really any of the joints. And I just assumed that they were like overuse injuries and that I was hurting myself. And then I'd have to go take several weeks off and I have to go to the doctor and they get me painkillers, they get me anti-inflammatories, and then I'd be back good as new and it was like nothing happened. So I haven't had any of that happen, not even once since I read Sarno's book. And I've worked out just as hard as I did back then, except I'm older now. So now I'm 37 years old and I do all of those things. So a couple things come to mind, Sarah, is that A, regardless of the sport that you partake in, whether it's running or CrossFit or powerlifting or baseball or whatever, cycling, making sure that you are getting adequate rest, which in my mind is 2 days per week minimum, 2-3 is probably better, and that you're eating enough calories to sustain training. If you're doing those things, it's going to be very hard to get injured. And that's just the thought process that I have when I go into this stuff all the time. Am I eating enough for recovery? Am I sleeping enough for recovery? And am I knowing that my body is strong, believing that it will be incredibly hard to get injured? And if all those things are in alignment, then I shouldn't get injured. And that has been the case. Again, no, that tendonitis stuff would just crush me for weeks and I would have to stop training. So be that as it may, I think that's the ultimate recipe for success. This is from Gemma. Gemma, it's always very nice to hear from you and see you. Gemma has a lot of great stuff on LinkedIn as well. It might be worth giving her a follow there. When I meet strangers, they often say, what do you do? I say, I'm a pain coach. Then they look at me with big hopeful eyes and say, my husband's got back pain. What do you suggest he does to get rid of the pain? What's the difference? What's the best and shortest response to get the point of TMS across? I hate the idea of walking away having not done justice to a subject that could change their life. This is tough. If I was in that situation, let's see here. Big hopeful eyes, say my husband, what do you suggest? So I would probably, I mean, what I do if somebody comes to me with this, and here's the thing, is that when somebody just brings that stuff up, I don't generally say anything about TMS. And I brush it off, and it's kind of rude, maybe. It's not that I don't care, but it's that it's often met with such ridicule that it's tough to go down that path. So ultimately, what I do is nothing with people that are in that situation. But if it's somebody that I do know, the 2020 piece, and you can find it on YouTube, I think is the most compelling piece that could help lure somebody in to say, oh, I'd like to know a little bit more. And then it's the mind-body prescription. And the reason I don't choose healing back pain, even though I think it's the best of all four, is that the mind-body prescription touches so many different things, so many different ailments, that it's easier for somebody to come across one and say, oh yeah, I've had that. And then there's an explanation of what's causing, what's going on, why anatomically it's BS and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I would say. Scotty, comments that. I second that question. It can never be a short answer, though. There's so much to unpack. I would like to say that I work in holistic wellness and help people regulate the nervous system and rewire the brain to self-heal from chronic symptoms. Gemma said that she loves that, but then Andrew chimed in and said, I'm not a coach, but from my experience, many people immediately block out advice when they hear certain words like holistic. I read this yesterday morning on my walk, and unfortunately, I agree with what Andrew's saying. I sort of think the same thing. There's a great episode of Seinfeld, one of my favorite shows ever, where George needs his appendix removed, and Kramer refers him to a guy that does holistic medicine to not remove the appendix, and Jerry is ridiculing this, and George goes and sees him because it's $35 or $20 or something like that. It doesn't work. He gets hurt, whatever. And yeah, that's like funny ha-ha stuff. But yeah, I kind of get turned off to the term holistic as well. And it might be part of my experience in like going to see a naturopath while I was going to see all these different doctors, that they kind of gave me a very similar runaround, except for instead of let's do this imaging or do these injections, now instead it's let's take these herbs and try these supplements and do these elimination diets, and we're not going to know anything for 6 months, but you still got to come in every other week and we'll do this, this, and that. It was almost worse. Like, it was almost worse than the Western medical model, where I would go in and see an MD who would brush me off and tell me that, you know, it's nothing, or you have this, take these pills for a couple weeks, and then, you know, we'll be able to rule some things out, like, because it's less definitive, and you kind of get strung along all this time. I don't know. I could sit here and debate naturopaths and vernacular about this kind of stuff all the time. Scotty came back and said, I understand. I like to encourage people that so many words can become stigmatized, and we can actually change the collective narrative around this, especially when it comes to understanding of mind-body work. An example of this is the word psychosomatic and how people are turned off by that word because it sounds like we are saying symptoms are in your head. Of course, we know with this work, and that's not the case, and that psychosomatic is exactly what it states, a somatic symptom, somatic symptoms coming from the brain. So I agree with the psychosomatic part because the words do matter. But what I will say is that when I have had conversations with people that either I maybe don't know all that well or I do know well that are having a sort of a pain or a chronic issue and I want to help them, I start to talk about, and I use the term psychosomatic, but I put it on myself first. Almost like self-deprecating humor isn't the right word to say, but I explain that that's what it is. And then I actually additionally go on and say how there is a misconception about what psychosomatic means. And that the thought from a lot of people is that it's a made-up thing in your head, when in fact it is not. It's the body creating real symptoms. And if I could sum up what TMS is just in the quickest of nutshells to people that I don't know, I would say that it is a dysregulation of the nervous system, and that would probably be about it. Because I think that that's maybe the simplest way to think about it. And fortunately, people that I do talk to this stuff about do seem to take this stuff relatively seriously, kind of. But that's just been my experience. And it's tough because it's like within sales, a lot of times salespeople, when they're trained, are taught to not necessarily solve a problem for like a business, but more so what they're taught to do is to try and identify a problem that the client did not have and then try and solve it for them. And I really hate that. My sales career really took off when I stopped trying to do that and instead found actual problems. And furthermore, if there wasn't a problem there to solve, back away. So I did a lot of that. And I think that that is really a big piece of the puzzle and a big piece of the pie. And so I would consider that in talking about it. Short episode. You've got some killer interviews coming over the next couple of weeks. I will be gone. I'll be in Yellowstone, I'll be in Alaska, but they are already on the docket. Dr. John Strax, one of the goats of the world, is going to be here to share some knowledge with you. Hope you all have a great week. I'll talk to you later.